Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus. I trust in you.
God bless you, brethren. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's put our faith towards the Lord and ask for His grace and His mercy. I'm not much of a preacher, you know. I would very much for Him to take this over. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to give us your mercy and your grace today, Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, and especially the brethren out there, Lord, who are listening, Lord, that you would have mercy upon them and that you would give them the eyes to see and the ears to hear the word that comes from you, Father. Lord, please show us of the things to come, Lord. Please prepare us for the things to come. Please give us a heart that's in agreement with you, Lord. You said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And, Lord, we want to walk with you in all things. We ask, Lord, that you teach us and bring us into agreement so that we won't resist your work, so that we won't be found fighting on the other side in some cases, Lord. Just we thank you, Lord, for drawing us and causing us to run after you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, brethren, we've been talking about America and Scripture. And I want to continue that. I want to talk about the timing of the fall of America and the tribulation. And the timing of the coming of the Lord a little bit. And maybe fit some things together for you that the Lord has shown me. We have already seen, some of you that may be joining us for the first time, you may have to go back and listen to some previous teachings to bring you up to date. They're on our site, archived on our site, americaslastdays.com, and they're the one-hour program, so you can listen to those, and we've already gone through the fact that the Lord has identified for us Babylon, the great eagle, in the Scriptures as the United States. So we're not going to go back over that. You can go back and pick that up. You know, in Ezekiel 17, the great eagle was Babylon, but it also represents the United States. So, I want to start in Jeremiah 25. And maybe verse 9. I will send unto Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about. And I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolations. What nations is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the nations that are around Israel. And he mentions them a little bit later in the chapter, say from 15 on down through 26. And he mentions by their original names or ancient names, nations like Israel, of course, Jordan, Gaza, the Palestinians, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, Iran, the Kurds, Syria. These nations are going to be a desolation. And, of course, God says that he is going to use Babylon, the great eagle, to bring them to a desolation. America is right now heading towards this war, folks, that is going to bring a desolation in the Middle East. Many, many people are going to die. And verse 11 here says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, I'm going to share this. There are actually seven places in the Bible where this same 70 years is spoken of. I was reading this one day, and before I actually got the proof of what I'm about to tell you, the Lord just spoke to me. He said, 7 years. And he gave me a proof of that. In the text, we see that God's people were in bondage to Babylon for 70 years, and these nations were brought under for 70 years. But in the book of Revelation, we see 7 years. I'm going to go on, and then we'll look at that in just a moment. Verse 12, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished. Again, I'm saying this is 7 years for the New Testament. It's a type and a shadow. It's an abbreviation, a reverse type abbreviation, but it's 7 years. It shall come to pass when 7 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate forever. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it. Verse 14, for many nations and great kings shall make bondmen of them, even of them, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the work of their hands. And that's the word of the Lord. And this is a type and a shadow, of course, for what is about to come to Babylon. As I was saying, well, first of all, we see that after the 7 years, the nations that were brought into bondage by the great eagle are now going to turn around and conquer the great eagle. Okay? I mentioned to you that that same 70 years are mentioned in the word seven times. After 70 years, the Lord no longer forgave the Babylonish harlot of Israel. He had been merciful and graceful. And yet at the end of 70 years in 70 A.D., he brought the Roman beast in to destroy her, as, of course, the saints escaped to the mountains. Jesus prophesied to them that when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies, that you escape to the mountains, and they did. Well, after 7 years of tribulation in the book of Revelation, the U.S. harlot is destroyed as the saints are gathered. That's the same parallel. We're talking about a different harlot, but Israel was a type and a shadow of the U.S. harlot. In fact, Jerusalem has USA right in the middle of it for a purpose. Well, notice that there came a time when God's forgiveness no longer applied to the type and shadow, and then the fulfillment. There came a time. In the Old Testament, it was 70 years. In the New Testament, it was 7 years. Matthew 18 and 21 says, then came Peter and said unto him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Well, as you know, Peter had a lot of brothers that sinned against him in those days. And Peter asked, until seven times? In verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times and seven. Now, some Bibles say 70 times 7, which is, of course, 490, and it has a good application. There is cycles of 490 years in Israel's history. But in the original, in the numeric pattern, it says 70 times and 7. It's two different time periods, until 70 times and 7. That's the numeric pattern. It proves what the ancient manuscripts say, which is 70 times and 7. And verse 23 says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king who would make a reckoning with his servants. Isn't that interesting? Right in the same text, he's talking about a reckoning. Do you know what happened after 70 years? God made a reckoning with his Old Testament servants. What did he do? Well, those that were guilty of transgression against him, he sent the beast in there and he destroyed them. And those that were righteous and walked as disciples, they escaped to the mountains. Okay. Well, what about the 7 years? Same thing. At the end of 7 years, guess what? The harlot is going into the great and terrible day of the Lord to be judged, and the righteous are going to be with the Lord. The same thing. So clearly in the text, he is talking about the time of reckoning, the time of the end of God's forgiveness, and he uses those two terms, 70 times and 7. Very interesting. So now, when you see Babylon, and you see that they have 70 years to repent. 70 years that they bring the nations under. 70 years that they brought the saints into bondage. At the end of that 70 years, guess what? Babylon was conquered. Yes, they were. But now if you drag that over in the New Testament, that talks about 7 years. And when you see that Babylon is the eagle, the great eagle, then you know that after 7 years, America is going to be destroyed as we know it. Well, go to Jeremiah 27 and verse 22. I'll point this out again to you. They shall be carried to Babylon. That's, of course, the saints. They were taken into bondage in Babylon. And there shall they be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Well, that's very interesting. They were taken captive to Babylon. As we saw, that was going to be for 7 years in our covenant, in the new covenant. And then he says, I will visit them. And restore them to this place. Why do you say this place? Because Jerusalem that was then was destroyed by Babylon. It was prophesied it was going to be. And frankly, he knew that they were going to come back to Jerusalem. But since the first Jerusalem was destroyed, he's talking about the new Jerusalem. In type and shadow, when they came out of Babylon, they were coming back as the saints to build the new Jerusalem. And when was it? After the 70 years. And when will it be this time? After the 7 years. After 7 years of God's people being in bondage to Babylon in its one world beast order kingdom, the Lord says, I will visit them. Wow, the Lord's coming. After 7 years, the Lord's coming. And I will bring them up and restore them to this place, which is what in type? The New Jerusalem. Okay, we have a confirmation of that over in chapter 29 and in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, after 70 years, which is 7 years, the type and the shadow fulfillment, are accomplished for Babylon, I will visit you. The coming of the Lord after 7 years. There it is. Exactly as Jesus said, by the way, after the tribulation of those days, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, right? I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place. And again, that would have to be the new Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem. Well, you know, it's a very interesting story when you study the types and the shadows of what got them to that place. I'm going to back up just a little bit. I'm going to go to Isaiah 44, and we'll come back here in just a minute. Isaiah 44, and let's look at the king that actually conquered Babylon and delivered God's people out of bondage in Babylon, and that would be Cyrus. In verse 28, it says, thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. He is the shepherd of God's people. That was a type of Jesus, right? And shall perform all my pleasure, even saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Well, Cyrus came as the great shepherd. He set God's people free from Babylon. We just saw that Jesus said, that the Lord said that he would visit after 7 years. And after 70 years, he would visit. And here is Cyrus visiting the people of God in bondage to set them free from bondage in Babylon. And in 45 and 1, it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed. That's the word Messiah. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden to subdue nations before him. You know, this is a type and a shadow of Jesus leading the armies of the beast to destroy Babylon in order to set God's people free who have been in bondage for 7 years. That's right. That's what this is. That's what this represents. And he would build the city. Do you know what Cyrus used to build the city? He used God's people to build the New Jerusalem. And what is the New Jerusalem when you read in Revelation? It is God's people. The New Jerusalem is God's people. The type and the shadow is perfect. Verse 13 says, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will make straight all of his ways, and he shall build my city. He shall let my exiles go free. not for price or reward, by grace, obviously, says the Lord of hosts. He also says a little further down in verse 14, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel. Yes, God was hidden in the type and the shadow of Cyrus. When Cyrus came, he led the armies of the beast kingdom of that time to destroy Babylon. And we're talking about America this time, Lord. And do you know that in Revelation chapter 17, that God himself puts it in the hearts of the 10 kings to devour and burn the harlot. So you see, folks, America is turning away from God, and it's going to continue. Like we just studied a few minutes ago before this broadcast, we studied about how that Babylon was like a tree that was cut down. And the king lost his mind, had the mind of a beast for seven times. And that's a type of the tribulation period. It's a type of what's going to happen in America during the tribulation period, that America is going to become a very beastly nation in her leadership, very beastly, in devouring the grass of the field for seven times, which is 7 years. And the grass, of course, Peter said, was all flesh. America is going to devour much flesh, both of the saints and of, for instance, this war that we're looking at in Jeremiah 25. Much flesh is going to be devoured by Babylon and its leadership. Well, back in Jeremiah 29, I want to read to you verse 14. It says, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. I will turn again your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. Yes, we know that when the Lord comes back after the 7 years, Matthew 24, he's going to gather his elect from all of the nations. And from all of the places whither I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive, which is what? Jerusalem. Praise God. Well, you know, that's a very clear type in the New Testament. We are told in Hebrews chapter 12 that you have not come to a mountain that might be touched. But in verse 22, we're told that you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, unto the heavenly Jerusalem. He told the saints in that day, the disciples in that day, the Spirit-filled believers, because they all were in that day, the disciples who were willing to give up their life in order to be Christians and be persecuted by their brethren in order to be Christians, in that day he told them that they had come to the city of the living God. Verse 23, he called this heavenly Jerusalem the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Wow. Well, what happened? Well, Paul talked about a great falling away that was coming in his day, and that the wolves would come in and divide the flock after themselves, and so on and so forth. And there was a great falling away from what was given to them, the truths that were given to them, the power that was given to them, that former reign that was given to them. There was a great falling away. Basically, God's people were taken into bondage to Babylonish religion. And in these days, God is going to deliver his people out of Babylonish religion. And he's going to bring them back to their heavenly Jerusalem. You know, Paul said in Galatians chapter 4 that Jerusalem which is from above, that heavenly Jerusalem, is our mother. The natural Jerusalem is in bondage with her children, but that heavenly Jerusalem is our mother. See, God is going to bring us back to our new Jerusalem. Jerusalem, back in the days of Paul, was destroyed. It was destroyed by Babylon in the lives of God's people. But in these days, he's bringing his people back. Now, we've seen that Babylon is a clear type of America. But there's another real clear type that many people don't know about. It's Tyre. Tyre is a type of the United States. And through it, we can prove the same thing we just saw. And that is that America falls after the 7 years of tribulation when the Lord comes for his people. Okay? Let's see how we can compare Tyre to the United States. Well, in Isaiah 23 and 1, it speaks of the fall of Tyre. It says it's laid waste. Okay? In verse 12 of that chapter, it calls Tyre the daughter of Sidon. And Sidon was actually northeast of Tyre. As you know, Tyre was in the midst of the sea. It was an island in the midst of the sea, but Tyre was on the mainland. And it was situated northeast of Tyre. It was, at that time, the center of the Phoenician Empire. Sidon, at that time, or shortly after that time, was superseded by Tyre as the center of the Phoenician Empire. Well, we have a perfect parallel because the United States is very much a daughter of Britain, which is also northeast of the United States, which is an island in the sea. And Britain was the center of the British Empire, which was later superseded by the United States. Exact parallel. Well, Tyre is a type of the United States, was inhabited by Christians, but was later conquered by Muslims around 1291. You say, does that mean America's gone? Yes, it does mean that, because we're going to see that from the scriptures, that after Babylon brought the nations under, and which we see now are Muslim nations, under for 70 years, at the end of that time, those same nations rose up and conquered her. Yes, they did. And the same thing's going to happen with America. Russia is going to lead the 10 kings with the Muslim nations, who have been very much slaughtered for some years, against America. Well, Tyre, as a type of the United States, was an impregnable naval power, the great naval power of their time. And it says that they were in the heart of the seas, Ezekiel 27 and 4. What does that sound like to you? The great naval power of our time, an impregnable naval power, has been the United States in the heart of the seas. Nations haven't been able to invade the United States. For that purpose, we've been fairly secure. Tyre is a type of the United States, actually fell by a mass of warships. Alexander the Great led 120 warships to conquer her. I don't know if any of you ever read Henry Gruber's revelation about a great armada of warships coming out of the Bath outlet and from Russia and other nations and coming to America at a time when she was vulnerable and conquering her. And yes, there's parallels between Tyre, Babylon, and the United States. Okay, Tyre and Babylon are tied together in scriptures. For instance, Satan is called the king of only two empires in the scriptures, Tyre and Babylon. And both represent the United States. Two very famous texts, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. People usually go to these when they want to talk about Satan, because there's a description of him in both places. Isaiah 14 and 4 says, take this parable against the king of Babylon. And verse 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O day star? Which, of course, is the ancient name for Lucifer, was the original name here. Son of the morning. You mean Satan was the real king of Babylon? That's exactly what it says in that text. He was the real king of Babylon. And I want to tell you that he is today, too. Why is that, that he would seek to be the king over Babylon? Because Babylon, in our day, America, is the head of the nations. He seeks to possess the head and so possess the body of the image of the beast. And you know what the head of the image of the beast was, right? The great eagle, Babylon. Well, look at the parallel verse here. Now, let me read a little bit more here. Verse 13, it says, and thou saidest in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, you know the stars of God are, right? The seed of Abraham were the stars of heaven. So Satan is seeking, through having leadership over the world, to exalt his throne above God's people. Now look at the parallel text in Ezekiel, except this time he's not talking about Babylon, he's talking about Tyre. But he says the same thing. Ezekiel 28 and 12, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. And verse 13, one of the same verses that we just looked at over in Isaiah. Thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Thou wast the anointed cherub that covereth. So we see here that if Satan can rule the head of the empire, both of these were heads of empires, that he can rule the body. The image of the beast is clear in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 3. It was the great eagle at the top of the United Nations. Exactly what we see over in the book of Revelations, the great harlot riding the beast that was all nations. And so Satan's desire is to rule the head and the mind, because he can rule the body, and he can rule that body against the people of God to rule over them. But this is God's purpose. Satan rules the head so that the body of the beast will crucify the saints. This is for God's purpose of raising up the saints. So God compares the fall of Tyre to the fall of Babylon. So actually he connects Tyre and Babylon in the scriptures. Many of the same things in the scriptures that were spoken of Babylon were also spoken of Tyre. Matter of fact, there are quotes that are in both places. They're quoting each other. God clearly wanted to connect these two because they both represent the greatest end time empire, the head of the end time empire, both of these. Isaiah 23:1, the burden of Tyre. And of course, it is laid waste, it says there. Verse 13, behold the land of the Chaldeans, they made it a ruin. He compares the destruction of Tyre with the destruction of Babylon in this text. Okay, the same 70-year warning after which the Lord comes is given to Tyre as is given to Babylon. The same warning. Here it is in verse 15. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, or 7 years, as the Lord has shown us here, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years, it shall be unto Tyre as the song of a harlot. Wow. Now we see that not only Babylon was called the harlot, but now we see that Tyre is also called the harlot. Okay? And it shall come to pass that after the end of 70 years, or 7 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre. There you have the coming of the Lord. At the end of the 7 years. At the time of what? Their destruction. When was Babylon destroyed? At the end of the 70, or 7 years. And what happened there? The Lord came. Here it is again. We see it very plainly. And she shall return to her hire, and shall play the harlot with the kingdoms of the world, all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. Is he talking about Tyre? No, actually he's not. He's talking about America, who is playing the harlot with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. A much greater fulfillment in our day. Yeah. Many times the latter fulfillment looks like so much better fulfillment than the original type and shadow. Many times. Well, Tyre's fall in the very next chapter, which was 24, is quoted in the famous vision given to evangelist A.A. Allen. If you haven't read this vision, it is the most exact vision of the fall of America in the series of events. It's on our site at americaslastdays.com. It's astounding. It is one of the most famous visions of the fall of America. And the thing was that in this vision given to A.A. Allen, the voice of God quoted to him Isaiah 24. This is the very next chapter. It's still talking about the fall of Tyre. Actually, it's speaking of the destruction of the United States. And it says, the land shall be utterly empty and spoiled. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you a parallel, because not only at the destruction of Tyre, does God quote the text speaking of Tyre concerning the United States. God was speaking to evangelist A.A. Allen and telling him that this quote was speaking about the fall of the United States. He did the same thing, listen to me, with Babylon. So I'm comparing these two. Here's our confirmation with Babylon. In Jeremiah 25 and 12, which we read earlier, when 70 years are accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. Then, of course, we saw that from verses 15 to 25, Babylon, as a type of the United States, brings the cup of wrath to the nations of the Middle East, which we're about to see, folks. After which we are told in verse 26 that the king of Shishak, which is an ancient name for Babylon and is a type of the United States, shall drink after them. So in other words, the United States is bringing a cup of wrath to the nations for 7 years, and at the end of that 7 years, America is going to drink that cup of wrath. The ten kings are going to destroy the harlot. Okay, the very next verse, verse 27, is quoted by the Lord in A.A. Allen's famous vision describing the destruction of the United States. Quote, "As the great cup of wrath was placed in the hand of the Statue of Liberty, I heard these words," quoting from the text concerning Babylon, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more because of the sword which I will send." Verse 27, "And I was amazed to hear the Statue of Liberty speak out in reply, I will not drink." Wow, that's interesting. So God in this vision is clearly paralleling. In fact, in this vision is clearly paralleling both Tyre and Babylon. And he's using the text that's speaking originally of them. He's using it about the United States. And what happened to Tyre and Babylon? Well, both of them, after 70 years, were destroyed. At that time, the Lord came. And again, that's 7 years in our covenant. Okay. Continuing on here, it says, "Then as the voice of thunder, I heard again the voice of the Lord saying, you shall certainly drink." That's quoted from verse 28. "Then suddenly the giant hand forced the cup to the lips of the Statue of Liberty, and she became powerless to defend herself. The mighty hand of God forced her to drink every drop from the cup. As she drank the bitter dregs, these were the words that I heard. Should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts." That's verse 29, speaking of Babylon. Well, you understand that when America falls, it's going to be because there is a world nuclear war. The whole world is going to suffer when America goes down. The whole world. It's going to be the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. A nuclear conflagration like the world has never seen. Well, after this particular part, he saw a massive biochemical attack upon America, which killed millions and actually paralyzed the nation for a nuclear attack that followed. He said, "I heard these words, a noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations." He's beginning to quote verse 31 through 33. "A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations." Yes, the nations have persecuted his people, and now they're getting the payoff. "He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation." Yes, that's those nuclear missiles. "And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth." That's a nuclear tempest. "And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, nor gathered, nor buried. They shall be as dung upon the ground." Well, folks, this has never happened. It was spoken of Babylon, but it never has happened. Where is the fulfillment of it? The fulfillment of it is going to be at the time when the nations come against America. Then he says, Suddenly I saw from the Atlantic and from the Pacific, out of the Gulf, rocket-like objects that seemed to come up like fish, leaping out of the water. High into the air they leaped, and each headed in a different direction, but every one towards the United States. Well, you have to understand that in the 1950s, they knew nothing about submarines launching ballistic missiles from under the sea. This guy had a very accurate revelation, and all of it's accurate, too. All of it is very good. I exhort you to go to americaslastdays.com and read the whole thing. It's very long. It's very good. I viewed the widespread desolation brought about by the terrific explosions. After this, he describes a massive invasion of the United States and the protection of the saints. Wow. This is also very accurate, because I'm going to share that with you in just a few minutes. Then to my ears came a sound of distant singing. Immediately I knew it was the rejoicing of the saints of God. I looked, and there high in the heavens, above the smoke and the poisonous gases, above the noise of the battle, I saw a huge mountain of solid rock. And you know, the rock is Christ, right? It's the mountain of God's kingdom on earth is what he's talking about. Of solid rock. And I knew at once that this was the mountain of the Lord. The sounds of music and rejoicing were coming from a cleft high in the side of the rock mountain. It was God's own people who were safe from all harm, for they were hidden away in the cleft of the rock, protected by a great giant hand which reached out of the heavens, shutting them in until the storm be overpassed. Folks, when did God reach out of heaven and shut God's people in? He did it with the ark. The Lord is the one that closed the door on the ark, and he did it to protect God's people. You know what? After 7 days, the ark sat upon the earth for 40 more days while God had closed them in, and the flood destroyed the wicked all around them. At the end of that 40 days, the ark lifted off. This is the same picture we're looking at here, the very same picture. The saints gathered in the ark of safety before the liftoff for 40 days. God spoke to me about this 40 days. He told me that during this 40 days, he was going to have a Psalm 91 Passover for the saints. They were going to be protected during this time for 40 days while there's a nuclear world war going on. I'm going to share more deeply about that later. We see that God quoted his word from the text of Tyre and Babylon concerning the United States. So if from now on, when you see Tyre and the United States in the Bible, Tyre and Babylon in the Bible, think about the United States. You may see some wonderful revelations there. Well, the U.S. Falls after the tribulation at the day of the Lord. You know that Jesus said in Matthew 24, 29 through 31, he said, but immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, what days was he talking about? This is very important, because in the text of Matthew 24, he spoke about the abomination of desolation, which happens in the middle of the tribulation period. Then he speaks about the great tribulation, which people consider the second 3.5 years. And then he goes on down a little bit further and he says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days. He's talking about the 7 years. At the end of the 7 years, just as we've been seeing all through the scriptures so far, at the end of the 7 years, he says, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. Well, this, folks, is where America falls. This is the great nuclear conflagration that darkens the sun and the moon. And this is when the Lord comes, because he says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and he shall send forth his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect. So, we see that after 7 years, the sun and the moon are darkened. Then we see in Acts 2 and 20, that the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come. For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, Isaiah 34 and 8 says. Notice, the sun and the moon are darkened, and then comes the day of the Lord. But after the tribulation, the sun and the moon are darkened. So you got the tribulation, you got the sun and the moon darkened, then you have the day of the Lord. That's a very important sequence of events. It was as the days of Noah. God told Noah after 7 days, and then the flood came, and then the day of the Lord came, which was that year of wrath that came upon the earth. And Isaiah 34:8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." A day is a year in tribulation time periods, because the 70th week, each day in the week, represents a year, 7 years. And now we know that there's an eighth day, which represents another year, called the Great and Terrible Day of the Lord, or the Day of God's Wrath. Isaiah 63:4 says, "The day of vengeance, the year of my redeemed, is come." See, the day of the Lord's vengeance is also the year of his redeemed. Noah was in the ark on the eighth day. The flood waters were upon the earth for a year and 10 days, and Noah was in the ark for 40 days before he lifted off. Okay? Now, we saw that after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. What happens there? Well, go to Isaiah 13:1. It's the story of the fall of Babylon. The burden of Babylon is called, verse 1. Verse 4 says, "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, as of a great people." Noise, yes, the 10 kings here, folks, gathering together against Babylon. "The noise of a tumult of the kingdoms of the nations gathered together. And the Lord of hosts is mustering the host for battle." He's mustering his host too, folks. "They come from a far country, from the uttermost parts of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land." As you saw, it was Cyrus who was called the Anointed, the Messiah, who brought the United Nations against Babylon to destroy her and set the people of God free, to destroy the whole land. Verse 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel with wrath, to make the land a desolation, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it." Now, what time did this happen for Babylon, the great eagle? Well, the U.S. falls, of course, as we've seen at the end of the tribulation, when the sun and the moon are darkened, and that's going to be caused by this nuclear exchange, and which is going to result in earthquakes and volcanoes and tsunamis, all things that can help darken the sun and the moon. Verse 10 here tells you exactly when Babylon falls. It says, "The sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine." Wow. So we see clearly another confirmation that the United States falls after the 7 years, just before the Lord comes. Verse 11, "And I will punish the world for their evil." Again, we see the same thing. It's a world conflagration, evil going forth from nation to nation. Also, Jerusalem, with USA in the middle of it, falls in a world nuclear exchange, darkening the sun, in Amos 8:2-3. "I will not again pass by them any more. The dead bodies shall be many in every place." And then in verse 9, it says, "In that day, says the Lord, I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." And then in chapter 9:10, the following chapter, "All the sinners of God's people will die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us." Well, that's very clear, folks. Jerusalem, as I've shared with you many times before, is a parable concerning America. It has a 17-year war cycle ahead, just like America did, the only two nations on earth. There is a parallel between Israel and America. Jerusalem, with the USA in the middle of it, in many cases is a prophecy to the United States. There are prophecies concerning Jerusalem that apply directly to the United States. Of course, we see here that they fell when the sun and the moon are darkened. Babylon fell when the sun and the moon are darkened. And the sun and the moon are darkened after the tribulation. and the sun and the moon are darkened at the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. The day of the Lord's wrath upon earth, upon lost humanity, upon the wicked. Well, all the way through this, we're seeing consistent confirmation that America falls after 7 years. And we see that as Jesus said, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. God told Noah the days were seven. He said after 7 days, the flood was coming. The flood did come, but Noah and the eight were in the ark, protected from this flood that represents the flood of wrath in the latter days. They were protected in the ark that represents Jesus Christ. You know, we're learning to abide in Jesus Christ, aren't we? What is it to abide in Him? 1 John tells us to abide in Him is to walk as He walked. You know, there is no curse upon Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has come to live in us and to walk in us. And there's no curse upon Him. So therefore, the people who are abiding in Him, who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, will be in this spiritual ark. And they're going to be in that ark for 40 days before the floodwaters lifted up off the earth. That represents the rapture of God's people. So the rapture comes after 7 days, which are the 70th week of Daniel, which are the 7 days of the tribulation period. It comes after the 7 days, and then after 40 more physical days, the ark will lift off with God's people who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. At that time, it is the beginning of a year of the flood in which the flood destroys the wicked. So, we see that at the time when the sun and the moon are darkened, at the end of the 7 days, which is at the beginning of the time when God's people get in the ark. Notice, God's people get in the ark after the 7 days, which is where the sun and the moon are darkened. They get in the ark at the time of the attack on America. We're going to look at this very specifically next week. They get in the ark at the time of the attack on America. They are protected during that for 40 days. We'll study that next week. And once again, all through the scriptures, we see that America falls after the 7 years. America, like Babylon, ruled over the image of the beast. Babylon's case, it was 70 years. For America, which is the great eagle in our day, same as Babylon was in their day, we're talking about it ruling for 7 years over both the people of God and the people of the world. We saw a great war is about to begin in the Middle East. I believe that the next strike on America will begin this great war. We see that one of the first judgments in the book of Revelation, chapter 6, the first one, of course, is the white horse rider, which is the man-child ministry that goes forth and looses the judgments upon the earth. The first judgment that is loosed after the white horse rider is war. The red horse brings takes peace from the earth, and men destroy one another. We see that the first thing that's going to happen is a great war, you see. I believe that that the next strike on America is going to cause America to go forth and call and instigate a great war in the Middle East. Jeremiah 25 is that war. It doesn't have anything to do with Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's false. That's always been false. The people that came up with that are not spirit-filled people, and they didn't have the truth. The truth is the war is Jeremiah 25 that we're about to see. It's a Middle Eastern war. It's going to be instigated by the United States. Well, I say instigated. You know, after the strike, they're going to retaliate. And this, I believe, is going to bring that Jeremiah 25 war in which those other nations around Israel. You'll notice in the list in Jeremiah 25, the one that was missing was Iraq. All the other nations that are in the Middle East were listed there, but not Iraq. Why? Because Iraq was Babylon in that day. America has just conquered Iraq. America is the king of Babylon. Now the rest of those nations come. Isn't it clear the way God set this up to be a parallel and a parable for us today? Now the rest of those nations, time has come. The war that's going to start in the Middle East is going to cause great devastation to these nations. Great devastation. And the beginning of this, I believe, is going to cause the one world order. It will start the 7 years. The one world order will be forced exactly the way it was in symbol forced in the past. You know, after World War I, there was a one world order created, and it was called the League of Nations. People got afraid when World War I came along. They wanted to create a one world order, a man of peace, so to speak. And it didn't work because World War II came along. And at World War II, they became frightened enough again to create the United Nations. And that didn't work either, because this war is going to be worse. And so, according to history, the Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. According to history, we're going to have another world war and another one world order. This one world order is going to be the dragon of Revelation chapter 12. It's the first stage in restoring the Roman Empire on a worldwide basis. The second stage is Revelation 13, the beast. And it is going to be restored in stages as per the Constitution for the Federation of Earth, which is going to divide the world up into 10 kings. And they're going to restore this Roman Empire. Okay, and guess who's going to be at the top of it? The great eagle. By the way, did you know Rome was also, their symbol was the great eagle? Where did we get the eagle on the end of our flagpoles and stuff? That's a Roman thing. They did that. They had that on all their flags, the great eagle. And it led Rome at the head of the one world order, at the head of the nations. Now America is the great eagle at the head of the nations, at the head of a Babylonish empire, at the head of a revived Roman empire. That Roman Empire was one of the heads. It was the sixth head that was smitten unto death, but is now being revived in a seventh and eighth head, just as the Bible teaches. No, we're not talking about a man. The Bible never did talk about a man that was being smitten unto death and revived. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. They can't read. The Bible is clear. It was one of the heads of a seven-headed beast, which is all nations, the seed of all seven world ruling kingdoms in one nation, one world order. And you know what's going to raise that up? America is. Because America is going to bring us into a war that's going to frighten the world. They're going to agree to put together a one world order. The only thing is, America's going to be at the head of the one world order. Just like the great eagle was at the head of the one world order in Daniel chapter 2 and 3. The head of the United Nations in the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2 and 3 was the great eagle. And Daniel revealed this as an end time revelation. He said to the king, the God of heaven has revealed to you what's going to happen in the latter days. So we're talking about an end time revelation here. Wow. Now, after America loses her mind for seven seasons, as happened to Babylon, in devouring the flesh of the field, the grass of the field, which Peter said was the flesh, America is going to bring God's people into bondage, and America is going to retaliate very vengefully in the Middle East with nuclear weapons, and there's going to be a terrible, terrible war. Many, many lives lost there. And that's where we're headed, folks. God bless you to be on God's side during this time.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23, 1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Pure as water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, guiding light, the shining rays of red and white. Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true. Oh Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust.